Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to welcome you in the Saviour's name to this broadcast from Let the Bible Speak, and we trust that as we gather around His Word, that the Lord will draw near and bless us and encourage our hearts. We're going to commence with a word of prayer, and let's still our hearts in God's presence and ask His blessing upon our gathering. Our God and our Father, we thank and praise Thee for the opportunity to enter into Thy courts through the name of our blessed Saviour and Redeemer. We thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed, blood that cleanses away our sin. And we come to Thee, O Father, and we pray that Thou would bless us. Bless, O God, those who would watch. And Lord, we pray that Thy word would be an encouragement to their heart, that You would speak through it. We thank Thee for a living word, a word, O God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, we ask for Thy blessing. I ask, O God, that Thou would cleanse us in the precious blood. And Lord, fill with the Holy Spirit, that He would be our instructor and teacher, and in everything that Thy dear Son would be magnified and glorified. Hear us, we pray, for these things we ask in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. We're going to turn to the Word of God, and we're going to have a Bible reading found in Psalm 32. And we're going to read the first six verses of this psalm together. Let us hear the Word of the living God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own inspired truth to all our hearts. We're going to have a hymn of praise. We're going to listen to a hymn. It is, peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. On the 20th of March every year, we have what is called International Happiness Day. Maybe you didn't know that such a day existed. Well, it does. It was contrived by the United Nations and was introduced following a resolution which recognized the pursuit of happiness as a human right and a fundamental goal. Happiness, what is it? Well, by definition, it is an enjoyable and satisfied state of being with pleasant emotions such as joy and pleasure. The desire of happiness is woven into man's nature. It is as natural for men to desire it as it is for them to breathe. And we can easily prove this because every individual upon this earth desires happiness. Everyone wants to be happy, and we want to be happy all the time. No one goes around looking for sorrow or sadness. In the Bible, in the portion that we have read, we are told about a happy man in Psalm 32. Listen to how the chapter begins. Blessed is he. The Hebrew word blessed that is used is in the plural number for divine emphasis and means happinesses or blessednesses. We could read it like this: oh, the happinesses of the man. And here is a man who has found the secret to a happy life, of what it means to be truly happy. He is a thrice blessed man. And the reason why I say that is because in these verses that we have read, the first five verses especially, we have presented before us a trinity of trinities. And that's what I want to think about in these moments that remain. A thrice blessed man looking at these trinity of trinities. Now, the first thing I want to draw to your attention from this portion is the threefold nature of man's wickedness. The threefold nature of man's wickedness. There is a universal recognition that in the world there is evil. This, therefore, presupposes that there must be good. Good and evil are moral qualities, and the atheist has no real answer as to where these came from, for to them there is simply physical matter. But the Bible supplies us with the answer as to their origin. There is a God who, by definition and by revelation, is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably good, a perfect, just, righteous, and holy God. Therefore, all that is opposed to him and contrary to him is evil and wicked. And in these verses, as I've said, there are terms which highlight to us the nature of the wickedness of man. Now, the first term that is used is found in verse 1. It is the word transgression. What does transgression mean? Well, it means rebellion or departure. The word trespass also comes from this same word. And we learn from the Bible that man departed from God at the very beginning of time. Adam rebelled against God's command and ate the forbidden fruit. He made a conscious decision to go his own way, and in doing so, he departed from God, who is infinitely good. God set him a command, a prohibition, but Adam stepped over that mark. He trespassed over God's moral boundary. And men and women still transgress today. Like sheep, the Bible says, we have all gone astray and we have all turned to our own way, saying to ourselves, well, why should I go God's way? I'll go my way and I'll do my own thing. Well, that, dear friend, is transgression. The eternal God has given us commands which we are to obey, for he is our creator, and if we break his law, we transgress. Breaking of a law brings guilt, and guilt always incurs a penalty. The penalty for transgressing God's law is death. Physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Now, the second term that we find in these verses that is used that tells us or describes to us the nature of man's wickedness is the word sin. What is sin? Well, sin simply means to miss the mark that is aimed at or to fall short of the intended target. God has given us his perfect standard of morality and uprightness, and it's contained in the Ten Commandments. They are righteous, they are noble commands, like thou shalt not kill, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not steal. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Yet we all miss the target. None have kept God's law in its entirety. We've all fallen short of being the perfect man or the perfect woman. We have sinned against God. And we do sin, and the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death in Romans 6, verse 23. The third term that is found in this portion, it's there in verse 2, it is the word iniquity. Again, I ask a question: what does iniquity mean? It means distorted, twisted, something that is perverted. And we know what that connotation means and springs to our mind when we use those words. It's something that is not the norm, something that is against nature, and something that is spiritually twisted. Now, in the scripture, God has laid down for us principles and precepts regarding human life and human interactions. Yet sinners, in the perverseness of their own iniquity, they deviate from God's straight rule and God's word. Not only are sinners bent away from God in their own heart, but they even go as far to set laws which are contrary to the law of God in civil life and in government. This is what the word describes as iniquity. The Bible again warns us about those who commit iniquity. In Jeremiah 31, verse 30, it says, "Everyone shall die for his own iniquity." So there we have three terms: transgression, sin, and iniquity, and they all describe the wickedness of man's sinful nature. But secondly, we have another trinity in these verses, and that trinity describes the threefold nature of a penitent sinner. The threefold nature of a penitent sinner. Every individual has transgressed sin and committed iniquity, and as such, we're all guilty. Our conscience condemns us, and we're all deserving of eternal punishment. So how can this man say he is blessed or happy? Well, this second trinity reveals to us what he did with his transgression, sin, and iniquity, which brought him into the state of happiness. Firstly, we see from verse 5 that he acknowledged it. Look what it says. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee." And that's the first step to being happy, not only in time, but for eternity. This is a man who was honest with himself, and more importantly, he was honest with God. He came to understand and he came to perceive that this sin, iniquity, and transgression was a problem that he had. He was a transgressor. He was a sinner. He was an iniquitous person, and as such, he deserved God's wrath, God's punishment. But he did not try to suppress what his own heart and experience cried out to him. There was a time, we read in verse 3, that he kept silent, that he didn't want to acknowledge it. But in that time of his silence, it tells us there that he found nothing but misery and sorrow, not happiness. But now he had come to a point that he acknowledges his sin. And today, people, they don't want to acknowledge that they are sinners. There is nothing in that other than pride and self-righteousness. But I say to you, you will never be eternally happy until you begin at this point. But the psalmist, he did something else with his sin and iniquity. He exposed it. Again, we see this in verse 5. "Mine iniquity have I not hid." He did not try to hide it or cover over his sin. But he revealed it to God. And this would seem, as it were, counterintuitive. Because God's the one that hates sin. And God is the one who punishes sin. And God is the one to whom we have sinned against. And yet it tells us here that this man, he exposes his sin unto God. There was no hidden compartments in this man's life. But he laid it out all before the Lord. He opened his heart up to the all-seeing eye of God. And this is true wisdom. This is another step on the pathway to eternal happiness. See, God knows all about our sin, whether we try to hide it from him or not. The Bible says fools try to cover their sin, either by deceit, excuses or schemes, but God, he sees it all, for that tells us that his eye is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 28, verse 13 warns us, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." But here's a man, he exposes his sin.
We also learn from verse 5 that the man who found happiness and finds happiness did something else with his sin. He confessed it. Look what it says. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. With his mouth, he confessed his sin to God. Not to man, not to an angel, not to a saint, not to a priest, but to the Lord alone. And this confession, it was an acknowledgement, it was an evidence that he was owning his own transgression, sin, and iniquity. That he was guilty. And that he knows that he's committed sin against God. Therefore, he confesses it to God. We're told in Romans 10, verse 10, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know, he did this in a genuine and sincere way, because it tells us in verse 2 that in his spirit there was no guile. There was no ulterior motive. He was spiritually weary and filthy and guilty and unhappy, and so he acknowledges, exposes, and confesses his sin to the Lord, who alone could make him blessed. And this is what you must do, sinner. If you want true, lasting happiness, the threefold nature of the penitent sinner. But finally, we have the last Trinity. And in these verses, that Trinity describes the threefold nature of Christ's work. The threefold nature of Christ's work. When a sinner acknowledges, exposes, and confesses their sin to God, we have in these verses the threefold nature by which God deals with sin in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And firstly, we see that Christ carries away transgressions. Look again with me at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, the word forgiven, it means to lift up and carry away. And when the Bible speaks of transgressions being carried away or forgiven, it is speaking about the guilt of them. The legal obligation to punish them, it is removed. Christ, we are told, he bore in his own body our sins to the tree. And he took the guilt of the transgressor. He took that upon himself, and in so doing, he became the one upon whom divine justice and punishment was administered for sin. He stood in the sinner's stead, taking the guilt of their sin. He is the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist pointed out, who takes away, who carries away, who bears away the sin of the world. And those that trust in him, in Christ and his finished work, those who acknowledge their sin and expose their sin and confess their sin to the Lord will find that their guilt is removed, it is forgiven, and they have peace, not punishment, from God. And in that, they are blessed. They are happy. But secondly, there's something else revealed about the work of Christ. His blood covers over sin. Verse 1 again, the happy man is one whose sin is covered. In the Bible, there's a wonderful word, atonement. And it means to cover over so as not to be seen. Leviticus 17:11, it tells us it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul, covers over the soul. And we're told in Hebrews 10, verse 4, that it's not the blood of animal sacrifices, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's blood hides all sin of a repentant sinner from the view of a sin-hating holy God. It was the offering up of Christ's sinless life as a sacrifice and the shedding of his precious blood at the cross that satisfied divine justice, turned away God's wrath, and forever hides my sin from God's view. And only Christ's blood can cover sin. But finally, we have another aspect of Christ's work of salvation found in verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He cancels out iniquities. Those who confess and forsake their evil ways, God will not reckon iniquity to their account. That's what it means when the verse says, imputeth not. In other words, God will discharge us of the debt of our sin. He will cancel it out. And he can justly do that because the Savior has paid the price. He's paid the debt of sin, which is death. Instead of a record of sin against a sinner, there is placed over to the account of the one who repents the Savior's perfect righteousness. What a blessed spiritual position to be in. No wonder this man was a happy man, thrice blessed, all transgression carried away, all sin covered over, all iniquity cancelled out. And this only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you, sinner. When sinners repent and believe the gospel, they too will be like this happy man of Psalm 32. And they will be able to sing, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice until its raptures all abroad. O happy day, when Jesus washed my sin away. The secret to happiness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. A thrice blessed man. And I trust that you will come into this state of eternal blessedness and know peace with God. Could we commit our way to the Lord with a word of prayer and ask his blessing upon his precious word? Let's pray. Our loving God and eternal Father, we thank and praise thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that it is a word of instruction, a word of comfort and blessing, and, Lord, a word of challenge. We pray for any who are in their sin, Lord, in that state of misery, Lord, that thou would be gracious to them, speak to them through thy truth, bring them into this state of eternal happiness and blessedness, which is only found in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for thy Son and his finished work. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit you would apply it to the hearts of those who have heard. Hear us, we pray, accept of our thanks, for we pray these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.